can be seated, and please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. You know, the last week we covered, the title of last week was Professing to Be Wise, They Have Become Fools. That everybody is born into this world with a conscience from God and enough evidence from the creation to cause them to know that they should seek God. There's people that say that we can't seek God. I have a trouble with following their logic when the Bible tells us to seek God. Jesus tells us to seek God. God through the prophets tells us to seek God. And then people say, oh, you can't seek God. Well, somebody needs to tell God because he told us that we need to seek God. So, what happens, we're born into this world, even in a Gentile world where you weren't a Jew and you didn't have the law of God, and you didn't have the priests and Pharisees teaching you the law of God. You were born with a conscience and an awareness of the creation that was testifying that there's a God that we should answer to, and therefore everybody is without excuse. And then what the Bible says, we covered this last week, but people, if they turn away and they go, I don't want to believe that creation testifies of a God, I don't want to believe in a God that I have to answer to, and therefore I'm just going to do my own thing, then God says, okay. And he gives them over to lust, because that's a natural tendency of man. In fact, the New Testament teaches that all sin is wrapped up in, according to 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Our fallen nature, that when we fell with Adam and Eve and rebelled against God, because what did Adam and Eve, they got deceived by the devil Satan to say, oh, I'm going to eat of this fruit and it will open, the lust of the eyes, this is good stuff, and the lust of the flesh, it will make me wise. And see, when we took that, we got a lustful character. We're born with a lust that is at war with that conscience, and if we push off our conscience, then what we get is lust. We'll live for the lust of the world. Are we seeing that today? Do people go after the lust of the world? And our mission is to say, no, the lust of the world brings death and destruction. The world is passing away, the Bible says. The world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So this is a life and death. This is a spiritual life and death, eternal life and death issue that we have to turn away from our lusts and pleasures if we've already gone that way and turn back and repent and get to God to have everlasting life. And so we're going to see this week that we skimmed over. We just read the verses of how the details of how that culture being given over to lust, the Gentile culture, the rejection of God, what happens? The details are explained in the last verses of chapter 1 that we just read, and today we're going to go over them in detail. And I'm going to just fly out to 30,000 feet and say, why is Paul doing this? There's three kinds of people, really. There's the people that don't even want him. They don't care about God. They don't care what happens. They want to eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I die. Who cares what happens? Who cares if I go to hell? Who cares if there is a hell? Who cares if there's a God? I don't care. I just want to live for lust and pleasure. And then there's another type of person that's actually even more dangerous for them, because they think that they want to live under the law. See, Paul then shifts his attention to the Jews that were living in Rome. And he was saying, you Jews that are living in Rome, you think that because you are a Jew and you know the law, and there's certain parts of the law that you obey, you think that you're going to be okay with God. But in actuality, in your mind and in your deed, you do the same things those guys, those Gentiles do. Because you're corrupt. Because you've fallen. You're part of the fallen world. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you too are going to be judged by God because you do the things you know those Gentiles shouldn't be doing. And you do it in your mind and your heart, and you deceived yourself into self-righteousness, which is part of the fruit too. I will decide what's good and evil, and I will go after the lust of the flesh. So our own self-righteousness can condemn us, and we're going to cover that sometime when we get there. And then the third type of person, which is what Paul is wanting to move everybody to, is for us to all realize, I am corrupt. My mind has. I've participated in and thought about lusts and rebellion against God and stuff, and I want to admit that to God. And I don't want to be under the law. I don't want to be judged by God as a pagan hater of God. I don't want to be judged by God as a self-righteous person when he comes in and he puts the law out and said, oh, really, you didn't do any of these? You didn't violate any of my law? Well, actually, I did. Well, then you're separated from me. I want to be under grace, don't you? Don't you want to be under grace where God is willing through Jesus Christ if we humble ourselves and say, I don't want to be judged by the law, God. If I'm judged by the law, I'm dead. I want to be judged by your grace upon me. Now, some people pollute that, as Paul's going to allude to later in Romans, by saying, so then the law doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No, I want to be under grace, and because of his kindness to me and because of his love for me, I want to say, can I have the law, and can you inject it into my heart and to let me walk with you, to be free from the lusts of the world, to be free from the dead things of the world? And that's the relationship that leads to everlasting life. I hope everybody here has gotten into that relationship with God. Not rebellion against God, not self-righteousness before God because you think you're a good person, but you have appealed to God's grace to set you free. So that's where chapter 1, 2, and 3, that's the whole thing of chapter 1, 2, and 3. But going to Romans 1:20, where we, to review these verses before we get into the following verses. We covered this last week. But for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, the people that reject God's creative power, and therefore, when they look at creation, they don't say, I answer to that God who created all these things. So, because they reject it, so that they are without excuse. They knew enough. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, yesterday I went with some, you know, with my daughter-in-law and grandson from Oregon, and, you know, grandchildren here, and my wife. We went to the Woodland Park Zoo for the first time since we moved here in 82. And so in that time, I found out it's a world-class zoo. and one of the things I was thinking about in this study, you know, thinking about this study, is how can anybody go to a zoo and see all the diversity of life and truly not believe in the creation, not acknowledge God as the creator? And I mean, there's so many different ways that that would be true. Think of all the different birds, all the different animals, and all the different ways God is basically saying, knock, knock, anybody there? You know, to our head, it's like, just in spades, like, what is wrong with you? And that one of the first things we went to was that we go into this bird cage. You know, you walk into this big bird cage, and they're just all over the place making these nests. And this lady, it was the only time somebody actually came and was explaining things. And this lady said, you know, this is such and such a bird. And what they're doing is they make first they make this loop on the branch. They stand on that loop, and they come and they spin, and they make it so that there's just a little hole at the bottom that they crawl up in. And it's the male that does it. And then when he thinks he's done, he says, okay, sweetheart, what do you think? And she goes and inspects it. And if she doesn't like it, he has to start all over. And, you know, now, and then you sit there, and I'm sitting there walking away thinking, one, I wish my wife wouldn't have been here. Because that's almost like God saying, you know, if your wife doesn't like what you make, guys, you got to just start all over with whatever the house is. But the other thing I was realizing is, those birds didn't learn that from their mom and dad. You know, that male bird didn't say, Dad, could you show me how to build a house for my wife and everything? It's all programmed in here. It's all, and they call it instinct. But where's it? Evolution cannot explain instinct. It can't explain instinct in 1,000 different instincts that are out there in the world. And every bird has a different way of building a nest. How did they know? How did these birds that travel thousands of miles over an open ocean, they weren't there before, but yet they know. They know how to do the compass. They know how to do everything. They know where they're going. Only a God who stands outside of time and history and everything else is sitting there and implanting all this knowledge and all this wisdom into these puny brained little animals to show us supposedly big brained people what a fool we are to reject the creation message. It's seriously, as it goes on to say, professing themselves to be wise, verse 22. Those that reject the creation of God, professing to be wise, they become fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We should really feel sorry for people who believe in evolution. And we really should. And it just takes one. How How does non-life become life? You tell me that, and then I'll start listening to you tell me about evolution. And they can't. Nobody can. No professor can. No super wise person in the world can say, how does non-life become life? And how about all the science that the geneticists now know that we are devolving, our genetics are devolving, the animal kingdom genetics are devolving, we are going downhill, we're not going uphill. So please explain to me how, for millions of years, things are evolving, and now all of a sudden, we're all devolving. And genetically, and everything else, they should know it's not true. They know it's not true. If they would allow themselves to not be given over to the delusion of the lie. The science shows that evolution is a lie. So we finished with that last week and then just read these following verses, which we're now going to cover in detail. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So, again, God's creation was given a conscience, and it restrains man. See, this conscience is a restraining aspect of man. We're not totally depraved. It's when we reject that. It's because they rejected the truth, became a fool, God gives them over to uncleanness. So, natural tendency of man is to follow lust. And we see that, and it goes on to explain how that's done. Verse 24, gave them up to, again, in greater detail, and God also gave them up to uncleanness, dishonoring their bodies with uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, and associated diseases that are associated with the uncleanness that's there. In fact, there's a great thermometer for how your relationship is with God, and that is, how much is your life lived in lust? Answer yourself that question. It's a plague in our culture. And it's a plague within the church. How much of your life is lived in lust? Because it says that when we go towards God, when we go to a knowledge of Him, the fact that He is the creator of the universe, and boy, that sure means we should be doing what He says, don't you think? We should be constantly seeking Him in a greater walk with Him. And it says that if I don't do that, then I'm going to be given over to lust. Because it's a two-way street. You know, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. Even as a Christian, our flesh is still here. We're saved. Our heart and mind is we want to serve God. But we can go away from our understanding, our desire to learn of Him. And the natural result, the biblical natural result will be starting to live in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what's going to happen. Every single time. And so, if you're full of lust, there's no relationship. Lust under restraint by the Holy Spirit is evidence of salvation. And I pray that everybody here will allow your lives to be the lust of the flesh being restrained by the power of the Holy Spirit through the knowledge of God's Word. What's the temperature of the culture? Our culture is almost completely dead to God, wouldn't you say? They don't want to hear it. They don't want anything. And so because our culture, and this isn't just America, this is the whole Western world, because it's dead to the biblical God, actually even the Eastern world, because it's dead, then the whole world is now being turned into a big lust fest. They're dead to Christ, alive to the lust of the flesh. And so what is your lust level? I hope it's waning. You know, we're going to have it until we go be with Jesus. You know, our flesh is going to lust for things until we go be with Jesus that are bad for us. I mean, it can even be lust for food, lust for, you know, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Things that I let my eyes want to see. I want to see it even though I know God says I shouldn't be seeing it. I want to see it. Or the things that I shouldn't do for my body. God says don't do it, but my flesh loves to do it. Both of those things should be waning until Jesus comes back and takes us in. Delivers us from this vile flesh. And actually, Paul gets into dealing with this later on in one of the future chapters of Romans. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 26. Because they, gives them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts. And because of that reason, because their hearts become just full of lust, he gives them over to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. So, vile passions as compared to regular passions. You know, God created man and woman with sexual passions. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply before the fall. Had Adam and Eve not been deceived by Satan, they would have enjoyed the passion that God had created them to have sexually, to enjoy having a relationship with each other, unhindered by any sin, any kind of rebellion against God, completely unhindered, would have raised children with absolutely no issues of lust and problems within the family, no rebellion against parents, no nothing. There would have been nothing. It would have been, wouldn't it have been nice if that would have happened? So, you know, God's created passions are a gift from God to be within the context of how he created it. And what is that? How did he create it? To be within the confines of heterosexual marriage between a man and a woman. So that is passion. That is the God-given passion. Those who reject God and his word are given over to Satan to inspired vile passions. So vile passions, you know, the word means disgraceful and shameful. So if we don't want to be in God's way, in God's economy of how he created us, and go back to the way it was in the beginning where you're spiritually set free from lust and pleasures of the world, if you don't want to do that, then you're going to be turned over to vile passions. And it says one of those is that women exchange the natural use of passion. What does that mean? Well, you know, what the Bible here is talking about, it's talking about becoming a lesbian. See, the passion that God created within the woman is to save herself and to be helped in doing so by the men of the world, that she saves herself for her husband that God brings along, and she enjoys passion with her husband until death they do part. That's the way it's supposed to be. But because of men abusing women and because of women in their rejection of God, their rejection of the knowledge of God, their being in a society of fallen depravity, all of a sudden something clicks in their mind. And it can be in a number of different ways. It can be what they watch on TV. It could be somebody that's a friend at school. It can be somebody else. And all of a sudden they go, oh, I'm going to believe a lie about what that is from, what that lesbian lifestyle is from. I'm going to believe it's good instead of evil. I'm going to believe that it's normal instead of abnormal. I'm going to believe it's natural instead of unnatural. And all of a sudden their heart and their mind can be swayed into a lifestyle because they rejected the knowledge of God. They rejected the truth of God's word. They exchange passion for vile passions, and they suffer within themselves, just like the men. It goes on to say that the men also are exchanging the natural for the unnatural, and it will be something that curses them and their lives, as we see that happening in the world today. Likewise, verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust, one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful in receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So, men leaving the natural use of the woman. Well, what's the natural use? Well, let's define it by God's word. What is the natural use of the woman by God's word? Well, one, it would be men protecting women from sexual harm. That would be the natural use. It's by God's divine word, men should protect the women. And therefore, the natural use of the woman to the man is, you're my daughter, and I want to be a shield about you, and I want your brothers, your uncles, your grandfathers, your everybody else to be a shield. We're gonna fear God. Fear God, you know, if you read Leviticus, you see all the different ways that it's an abomination to God for the uncovering of the nakedness of women and men even in that case. And so, it's like there should be a mission to protect women in our culture. That's natural to do that. Men ensuring that women remain virgins until marriage. That's natural. It used to be this way in America. It used to be shameful in America for a woman to lose her virginity. It used to be. When I was growing up, it used to be that way. Now, you are maligned and hated for even having that attitude. Isn't that amazing? Just a few decades, you can just move a culture can move into this so rapidly away from God. So protecting, number one, men ensuring that women remain virgin until marriage. Three, in marriage, men enjoying the natural sexual relationship is designed by God for childbearing. That's what God said He gave them the passions for, that they would bear children. The natural result, you know, the natural passion relationship that is intended to bring about the creation of a new generation of children. That is natural. And what's natural for men in the relationship with women is to be faithful to their wife until death they do part. Now, I would say that probably everybody in this room has experienced the opposite of that in many different ways, because that's how bad our culture's gotten. But the Word of God is so cool, because it says that what we do is, if we just recognize this is natural, this is what God's Word says, and see, if I'm not in chapter one like the world is, I'm saying, I want to do that. Not only do I realize You're the Creator, but I realize that You created me with all these emotions, etc. And if I do what You say, and if I do it for my wife and daughters and everything else as You say, then it'll be better for us. And so I want to do what's right for You, right towards You. And God, in the times that I may have failed, or I know somebody that's failed in doing these things because they've been deceived by sin, we're so thankful for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, aren't we? So thankful that God can forgive sin, but then we say, but I want to start living for Jesus today. I want to let this be my attitude. You know, all the above, if you think about those natural things, the four things there, it leads to the freedom from emotional suffering for women and for men, doesn't it? And sexual diseases for both the husband and the wife. You know, isn't it nice to have a relationship that you fear God and you say, and if you fear God as a husband and wife, you have no need to go to the doctor and get a test for any venereal disease. Isn't that an awesome thing? It's a gift from God. A lot of people, I know people that have suffered. They got deceived into the lust-filled world, and they end up having to suffer the rest of their life. I know that it's happened. And I know sometimes people that have totally feared God within the relationship, they had a spouse that didn't, and therefore they have to suffer. And once again, God is just, all that does is proves God is right. It proves that His Word is right. It's proved that He's the Creator and He's made us, because He warned us. He told the Jews, now I'm going to tell you, here is the sexual passion that I want you to have as a country. These are the lusts and pleasures I do not want you to do. If you do those things, you're going to suffer the same diseases as the Canaanites and the Egyptians. And they disobeyed God. They went off and did their thing with the nations around them, and they suffered horribly. And here we are. We had all that history. We have the history of the Old Testament with the Jews. We have the history of knowing what the doctors tell us. I remember in the Navy, and you get all these lectures from people about how it's going to, you know, we're going to go into the Philippines, we're going to go into Japan, we're going to go into here, and this is what you got to do, because this is what's out there ready to kill you. And what do all the guys do? They don't care. And it's just like, man, what is wrong with you? And just like I was saying, Kevin, why don't you go out with us? Because I'm not interested in going to the massage parlor. Sorry. I'm going to stay here on the submarine and be faithful to my wife. And they just mock me and scorn me. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of the error which was due. What's the unnatural? The abuse of women by men that is seen in so many ways. And it causes God to give godless men over to abusing themselves with each other. So, I mean, this is something that's kind of interesting, is that when men abuse women, it actually, God says, oh, you want to abuse women who I love and want to protect? Then what I'm going to do with you men is I'm going to get you to abuse each other. I'm going to give you over to a deception where Satan will be allowed to get you to abuse each other. And the reason I say this is, again, well, it's the Word of God. This is what God is saying. Because of this, he gives them over. It is the source of the homosexual plague that is upon us. It's not like the stork just all of a sudden went to a different, you know, supplier of babies and said, these ones are going to think that they're the opposite sex of what they were born with. It's not. No, this is the origin of the homosexual plague that is upon us is a rebellion against God. It is an abuse of women by the men. And it has been given, it's men being given over. So, guys, do we want to, we don't want to be part of that, right? We want to, and I'm preaching you young ones here, you young girls, you young men. Man, I tell you, God watches. He sees what's happening. And he sees when guys are looking at women unnaturally and tries to abuse them unnaturally, and he grieves. And there's going to be a curse that falls upon us. This last Tuesday night, we had Scarlet Road Victoria came and talked about the sex trafficking industry and how she got wrapped up into it. She got into a spat with her mom. And she goes, oh, I'll show mom. I'll just go to the strip club and see what she thinks about that. And her mom says, yeah, I'll go see how that works out. There shouldn't, you know, in a God-fearing society, how many strip clubs are there? Zero. In a God-fearing society, how many naughty lottie places are there? Zero. In a God-fearing society, how many women are being abused? How much porn is there? How many porn stores are open? How many billions of dollars are being spent? Nothing. Zero. There should be zero in a God-fearing society. And every bit of that is the abuse of women. And it leads to God curses man to, okay, I'll give you over and you guys will become men and abuse each other like you abuse women. That's the way I like to look at it, because it's, you know, it's really our fault, right? Because we can't, nobody can make us abuse a woman. We just do it by participating in the industry that does. Likewise, also men losing the natural use of women, burning their lust one for another, then men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error, which was due. They're not born this way. Men are not born this way. There's four things, I think, that are major contribute to men being deceived into the homosexual lifestyle, besides the spiritual aspect of being given over to it because of their own abuse. One is, and I'm going to make this the first. I usually don't make it the first, but I'm going to this time. Do you know the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. So in other words, we should not be cross-dressing. And at the early days of women wearing pants, you know, the church was saying, no, a woman should never wear pants. And, you know, well, I'll be a little bit less than that extreme in saying, when you look at a woman, she should look like a woman. When you look at a man, you should look like a man. Within the culture of the dress. I mean, I don't want to go tell some Scottish guy, you know, you're dressing like a woman. Because he'll probably punch me and knock me out. Say, look, us men have been dressing like this for hundreds of years, and who are you? Get back to America, boom, just take me out. So, within the culture, what God is saying, a person shouldn't dress up and say, I like being like, you know, a woman shouldn't say, I like looking like a man. And a man shouldn't dress up saying, I like looking like a woman. That's what the Bible says. Because it's an abomination. Why? Because God has created us. And he knows what's inside of us. And he knows that for an adolescent to be growing up confused and go, oh, don't you look cute in that dress? Don't you look cute this way and that way? Speaking to a guy, all of a sudden something tweaks in their brain and all of a sudden they start identifying with the other sex. And it can start at a very early age. And then the parents, when they go off to live in the homosexual lifestyle, which is so destructive to the rest of their life, they don't get to have children, they don't get to have the natural, created by God relationship between a husband and a wife and the healthy, beautiful, wonderful passions that can be there and having children, grandchildren, and raising a child together as a man and a woman, all this other stuff that God has designed. You miss out on all that, which is why there's so much suicide within the homosexual community, because they've been deceived into thinking this way when it's a way of destruction for their own souls. And So we should not let it happen. The Word of God governs us. Don't let that switch trigger in their mind. And then you grow up and you wonder, why did you do this? You were so young. You must have been born this way. You were so young. Well, at a young age, they were being impacted with those things. I remember I was teaching, before I was a pastor, I was a pew sitter at a church, but I was doing Sunday school. One of the star students and, you know, a star student and his sister also very, they were just so into answering the question, doing their homework, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're having, the church decided to have a harvest carnival instead of Halloween. They were doing a harvest carnival, which I've never been a fan of. We don't do it here. But anyway, so there was a costume contest. And my star student guy came and dressed as a girl, and the church voted him best costume. I was aghast. I was just like sick. And the pastor didn't say anything, didn't see anything wrong with it. The assistant pastor didn't have anything wrong with it, to the point where I went to him and I said, what are we doing? I mean, this is such a horrible thing that we have done. And they thought I was a little too narrow-minded. And then I shared the verse, you know, right after that verse that I read, and later on, this is a couple years later, the pastor was telling me, well, the next verse says, if a bird's nest happens before you along the way in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, with a mother sitting on the young or on the egg, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. You know? Well, wow, Kevin, so what do we do if somebody does that with a nest? I go, you know, are you mocking the Word of God? You know, by the way, they've studied, it's good to have songbirds and other birds in your culture. If you don't like bugs, you better like birds. And it's basically saying if there's a, you don't take, if the eggs are going to die because the nest, whatever, and you see it, you can take an egg just like you can take an egg for a chicken, but don't kill the mom that's going to make more eggs. You know, our Washington State Fish and Wildlife does that. They plan how the habitat needs to be kept because you need everything that's out there. And so God is just saying, don't be thinking that you can just wipe out your animals because they're good for you. And don't just think that you can dress as a woman or, you know, when you're a guy, or a guy when you're a woman, and it's going to be well with you. It's not going to be well with you. Number two that I think that causes it. So cross-dressing. And by the way, my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, who had two children, he got deceived into this culture. And the wife found out by getting some love letters, finding some love letters between him and a guy. And when he was outed, he lived a life of dressing up as a girl, going to the bars, picking up guys, and he died of AIDS. And on his deathbed, my wife and her sister were trying to witness to him, you need Jesus. You need to repent. Even today, you can repent. My pastor says I'm totally cool living like this, that I was created this way, and everything's fine. So who are you? My pastor told me it's okay. Number two is men raping boys. It's a known fact. Because, see, it says that God gives them over to vile passions, men with men. And see, once you're given over to a vile passion, you don't really care whether or not you're abusing another boy or a woman for that matter. And it is a fact that, as we know from all of the history, that homosexuality breeds further homosexuality by the abuse of other children. Not that all of them come that way, but it's a fact that it happens. So fathers and mothers should be lovingly teaching their boys to be careful in this day and age, to become godly men, and for the fathers to raise their children in loving care to fear God so that they will not ever have to experience being deceived into a culture and going off with people that are going to deceive them and try and kill them by leading them astray. And number four, by allowing the young boys to be reprogrammed in the lust of their world. So today, people say, wow, how did all of a sudden America just explode with this unbelievable condition? As I said last week, they've made a new Anne of Green Gables. It's on TV. If you Anne of Green Gables, kids, go watch that. I'm cooking the dinner. I'm, you know, mowing the lawn or whatever else is going on within the family. And those kids are being exposed to the homosexual lesbian lifestyle. And you have to be careful that they don't. And I would say it's even worse than that, because you can put your kids away to bed and you as parents can sit there and say, okay, let's pamper our dead, supposed to be dead, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and let's watch this movie or let's watch this show together, because we can handle it. And I would say, as Carrie Trahan brought to pass, all the verses that talk about the hedge, we have to realize we're living in a spiritual warfare, that us doing things can raise or lift the hedge of protection of God. You can sit there and say, oh, you know, the kids are awake, or the kids are sleeping, and we can do this. Oh, really? God's not sleeping. God's not sleeping. He says, oh, you're allowing that filth in your house? And more importantly, Satan is going, God, they're allowing that filth in their house. Can I try them? You say that you like to bring trials to their lives so that they will learn to grow in their patience and love for you. Can I bring a trial into their life? And God might just say, yep, you can. Because they're supposed to turn away from that stuff, and I want them to get, I'm going to slap them around. Lovingly slap us around. Allowing the media to program your sons contrary to what you have been trying to teach. And the internet is just horrible in that way. The media is horrible. There's nothing that can be watched almost anymore at all. You know, the Tuesday elections were last week. I wanted to know what was happening. So I knew that Channel 13, because we only get, I don't do cable or satellite, partially because I don't want to trust myself in the areas of the flesh. Maybe you guys can handle it, so I don't, but you know, so Channel 13, it's not even 5 minutes before 10 o'clock when the news comes on, and some game show never seen before, and as soon as I clicked it on, the game show contestant and what looks like the moderator is sitting there, and he's got their arms around each other, and it looked, it's fine to have a man having an arm around, but it just seemed like there was some effeminate deal going on there, and so then as I'm waiting, I go, what's happening here? And then another contestant, I guess, comes. I don't know what the dynamic was, except the other guy comes and just goes up to the guy that the moderator has his arm around and just gives him a nice smack on the lips. And then they join hands to get, you know, they hug each other and they're waiting for the results of whatever the game show was. I just saw, oh, Lord Jesus. I can't, you know, Jesus died for people that are deceived in the homosexual lifestyle. He wants them to be saved and set free. I have witnessed to homosexuals that I knew in the military, that I've known, that have gone to church, that, you know, I've shared the importance of getting right with Jesus. I have no hatred or animosity towards them because they've been deceived. But I'll tell you what, it grieves me to see just how in your face it is in our culture, knowing what it's going to do to our kids, knowing what it's going to do to the future of this culture. And we have to protect our children, to let them know it's from the devil. It's a deception from the devil that will violate their innocence if they don't turn away. So, guys, we need to have nothing to do with the abuse of women. We have to have everything to do is the one was fathers not having a good relationship with their with their sons. That's another thing. A son not having that male figure where, you know, the mom gets to raise him. Here, I want you to be my helper in the kitchen and all this stuff. By the way, that's male toxicity today. You know, if you men try and want your boys to be men, you are now called a male toxicity purveyor. You are now corrupting the culture. But men, you want your boys to grow up to be men. And mothers, you want your boys to grow up to be men. You know, have them go play, as I did, with plastic army soldiers, you know, rather than playing dolls with the other girls. Unless you want to corrupt their mind with what God has created us as men to be. We are the warriors, by the way. We are the protectors. We have to do these things to help protect our children from the curse that's upon us. Likewise, verse 27 again, likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn with their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of the error which was due, diseases, AIDS, everything else that comes with the filthiness. It says filthiness also that comes with the act that is prevalent and saps years of life, the average life span of those living in this lifestyle. Some have said the average 30 years reduced. And it would be much more than that if they didn't come up with a cocktail to keep people alive with AIDS than have AIDS. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the debased, King James reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting. So it says, because they did not retain God in their knowledge. So, here's the secret, is to retain God in our knowledge, right? So the secret is to retain God in our knowledge. How do we do that? Well, let's guess. What would be the best way to retain God in your knowledge? Anybody? Read the Word of God. Because you're going to read these verses. Don't cross-dress. Don't abuse women. All this other stuff that's all throughout the Bible. The consequences for living a life of lust as the Jews did on and on and on, over and over and over again, to the destruction of their entire country. So, until they get not complete destruction, because they're still around. But you read the Word of God, you get constantly inputted with, don't mess with the way God created us to be. Number two, what else? Church attendance. For us to get together and fellowship with one another, to retain the knowledge of God, to be exhorted to keep a knowledge of God, fellowshipping with believers. And then I would say, I'm adding a fourth one. I've had three before, but the fourth one is to censor the world out of your mind. You know, they're censoring us. They're censoring the conservative mind way out of our mind. Let's censor the world. I couldn't go on for another 30 seconds or a minute what I saw on that game show. I had to hit it off. No, I'll wait until it goes 10 o'clock straight up and I can hear the news. I can't, because see what happens is if we tolerate, it's nice. Besides that, it was a nice show. It has a nice theme and a Green Gables, so it's got a little bit of that. You don't understand. It's conforming your mind. You're starting to compromise with the lie, and it will get you. And how do you keep, finally, and retain the knowledge of God? Have a heart to love Him more than anything that's in this world. You love Jesus more than anything in this world. And then the world has no appeal. See, the power of lust goes away when you love Jesus more than anything, because you know He hates lust. Did not retain God. God gives them over to a debased, reprobate mind to do those things. And man gets totally depraved. In verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, which is defined below. So it's, and he just goes off in all this unrighteousness, sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, adultery, swinging. I shared with Wednesday, I've recently been hearing so-called Christians encouraging people to go ahead and, hey, enhance your marriage, you know, go swinging. You know what swinging is? It's another term for adultery. It sounds so much better, right? Because you're swinging instead of having adultery. Adultery, the Bible talks about that, but I want to talk about swinging. Lustful porn, lustful homosexuality, you know, all those sexual immorality, porneia, wickedness, plotting to do evil, covetousness. What is that typified by today? Socialism. Again, you know, I want what somebody else has. I covet what they have. So what I'll do is I'll hire the government to go get it from them and give it to me. Maliciousness, stirring up trouble, full of envy, similar to coveting, murder. Boy, are we seeing that grow today too, including that of babies. August 8th, 2018, article, title, article, grotesque, U.S. government cannibalizing babies so mice can live. It's an article about how they're going to Planned Parenthood saying, we, the government, would like some of the, you know, this stage of aborted baby tissue. We need that because we're studying how to enhance the immune system of mice. And so we'll pay you, the government paying for that to be done. And you know, man, do you think God cares? Do you think he's looking down on that? And he's saying, see, the world's going to get, once you turn away from God, God gives you over to vile passions and lusts. And then you're going to end up, when you keep going down that road, you're going to be filled with all unrighteousness. And you're going to go off to all these things, wickedness, maliciousness, murder. Murder is going to become a protected, murdering babies is going to be protected in the country. And not by us, right? Can we support in any way the murdering of babies in the womb? No. In any way. I would feel like I had committed a horrible offense to God if I ever clicked, you know, if I ever colored in the ballot for somebody that says, I stand on the right of the ability for people to kill babies in the womb. If I were to ever vote for that, I would feel like I had horribly offended God. I can't understand how anybody that loves God could do so, to tell the truth, because it's an abomination to God. And I know all the other issues. I know the things. It's because of this corruption, that's this lust and stuff that's in our culture, that it even becomes an issue. Wouldn't be an issue if there wasn't the perverseness of our fallen society. Strife, deceit, people deceiving people in order to gain from them. You know, there are so many scams that you hear almost every day on the news, a new scam. Millions of dollars have been scammed from people because they get told, you need to wire the money for your down payment on your house or you're going to lose your position. And people are sending hundreds of thousands of dollars for their house, and then they find out it went overseas someplace and they don't even have a house and they don't have their hundreds of thousands of dollars anymore. I've been called at least 15 times from, hello, this is Microsoft technical support and your computer has a virus. And you just need to let us get into your computer so that we can steal you out of your mind. I mean, they don't say that. They say they need to get in there to fix your computer, but what they're going to do is steal from you. Deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. And you know, if they're haters of God, what are they also haters of? Well, if they're haters of God, they're going to hate those who love God. Is that happening? And by the way, there's popular websites now where they encourage people to get onto the website and go on video saying, committing the act of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in a mockery to God. And people do it. They just go to the blasphemy, to commit the unforgivable sin, and they have no apprehension about going and doing what they call the unforgivable sin by blaspheming God. And so this is August 7th, 2018, this week. Here's an article from worldnetdaily.com. Billboards yanked because Bible is shown. You heard about this one? Now, you guys should know Greg Laurie, Calvary Chapel Movement, Harvest Crusade, hundreds of thousands. He's basically kind of like a Billy Graham today. And he does Harvest Crusades. And he hired an advertising company to do his flyers for the upcoming Harvest Crusade. And that advertising company has a flyer where Greg Laurie is holding a Bible up, preaching the Word of God. And the advertising company, well, this is what it says. After multiple complaints, including a serious threat, we'll burn your building, or I don't know what the threat was. After a serious threat, an advertising company removed a series of billboards depicting evangelist Greg Laurie holding a Bible. You can't show the Bible in public anymore. Somebody holding up the Bible as I'm going to teach the Bible. Or the company that puts it up on the billboard is going to be threatened by the people that hate God. And so then Greg Laurie said, okay, we'll take the Bible off. And you know what? They go, that's not good enough. We want it down, period. How about this one? August 8th, Wednesday, the next day, this week. Take action. Army chaplain faces court-martial for his Christian faith. An Army chaplain at Fort Bragg in North Carolina could face possible court-martial and even military prison because of his views on marriage. After being asked to conduct a marriage retreat that included same-sex couples, the chaplain soon... That's what he got charged for. The chaplain simply explained that his religious beliefs would not allow him to do so. So they said, we want you to do a marriage retreat. Okay, I'll do a marriage retreat. Oh, and by the way, you have to do it for everybody. And oh, by the way, there's some people that want to do same-sex marriage retreat. And you know, it's technically against the law for them to do that. And still, because they're lawless. Everything is corrupting to the point where... And so now that he could be court-martialed, fined, imprisoned in a brig for taking a stand on the truth of the Word of God. Violent, proud, boasters, our narcissistic culture speaks for itself. Inventors of evil things. You know, biowarfare, the digital, I have a handout over there, China explores using artificial intelligence. You know, all this artificial intelligence, they're inventing stuff that is going to do incredible evil over the world. The digital dark age is here. They have invented our ways of communication, our Facebook, our Twitter, and all this other stuff, getting us to give them all the information about us and how we think and all this other stuff. And now, as of this last week, they are shutting down conservative thought like crazy. And so they invented that. It was the plan. They get to know everybody's information. And now they say, okay, now we're going to shut down communication. You know what this is exactly like? This is exactly like what happened in Germany in 1933. Hitler says, I'm going to be the dictator. There's no alternate thought allowed. And I want all my Nazi youth, I want you to burn all the books that are contrary, and they made the list. The Nazis made the list of everything that had to go. They'd pile, everybody in the city would gather together and throw all the books into the road, and they would burn them all that were declared to be an affront to the coming Third Reich. Burned it all. That's what they had to do back then. Today, just push a button. Alex Jones is gone. Pretty soon Drudge is gone. This is gone. This is gone. All their YouTube accounts wiped clean, Twitter accounts wiped clean, unable to communicate in the only way that they've made it that you can communicate today. Inventing of darkness. And again, you know, and that's not in saying I agree with anybody that says anything, but there was a reason why the Founding Father says you cannot stifle speech. And it's not the government doing it. It's not against the Constitution for YouTube and Google and Amazon and all these other places to censor. That's private companies. They just are protecting us from subversive, hateful thought. Disobedient to parents. Yeah, I hear about people cursing their parents. How many millions of kids are sitting at home today, you know, wanting to, you know, as adults, hey, parent, you know what the Bible says? Fathers, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one, and they're gone. That's what happens. Millions of kids are in the home and they're cursing their mom and dads because they're not taking care of them and paying for their new Xbox or whatever game machine, whatever thing it is. Undiscerning, untrustworthy in marriage, the workplace, friendships. Who can you trust? Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. Blessed is the man that trusts in God. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And here's the key, kind of goes along with what I already said. They approve, not only do they, in the back of their mind, from what they knew when they departed from God, but they actually, not only do we know this is against that God who we reject, but we really approve of everybody who joins us in this fight against the God of creation. Which means, what? That means they're also joining in disapproving of you who don't want to go along with it. And, you know, for me, I would rather be approved by God and disapproved by the world than to be approved by the world and disapproved by God. Because the world is passing away and the lust thereof, and those people will be no more. But God is forever. He created us, and we better get our heads around serving the Jesus who saved us, serving the God who brought us into this world, departing from all lusts of the flesh, departing from the lusts of the eyes, departing from the pride of life. We're nothing. We need Jesus to save us and deliver us safely into his kingdom. And to just repent, if there's anybody here that's being touched by the Holy Spirit about this, let's just repent of anything and just move on and trust God in the future. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, we know that it's almost like being on Hamburger Hill in Vietnam and trying to encourage the troops that we got to just march up that hill in obedience to your word, knowing it's going to be massive warfare, Lord, in this world that we're living in, and yet we know we have to do it. You're our commander in chief, and God, we want our minds to be renewed. We want us to be set free from the things of this world, and God, I pray for every soul in this room, that they would take stock of the battle and arm up with your spiritual armor and fall in love with you and fall in contempt for the things of the world that wants to sap away the joy and pleasures that only you can give by obedience, God, to your way of how you've created us. We thank you, God. I pray you protect the families that are here and the minds of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, and your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do. Let me honor.
What a powerful prayer, and if true and deep in your heart, it'll change your life, because we want to, in everything we do, we want to honor God, amen? Love Him and serve Him until He comes to take us home. He's coming soon, so we should double down on the effort. God bless you. Keep you in His hair until we can fellowship again. God bless.